I'm excited to introduce Patrick and Annabelle Neal to you. Today they're going to talk about their experiences at GA in Columbus, Ohio, and to enlighten us about what they learned and what it's like for us to attend. We were fortunate last year to have GA here, but for those of us that didn't travel, there are wonderful experiences. Patrick and Annabelle.
We really want to start this morning with sharing with you and giving you a chance to practice a new ritual that we were introduced to at GA by the presidents of the Star King School for the Ministry and Midville Lombard. And the ritual goes something like this. We ask you to watch it because we're going to ask you to do the same thing with everyone else. So here we go. I hold your hands in mine so that together we can accomplish what I cannot accomplish alone.
We hold our hands together. I blew it already. Start me over.
I'll hold my hands in yours
so that we may do together what I cannot do alone.
So we ask you now to do that
with each
other.
We're going to get a couple of you started.
I hold my hand in yours so that together we can do what I cannot do alone.
My hands in your hands so we can do together what I cannot do alone.
We do what we cannot do alone. And be sure that everyone is both a giver and a receiver of this blessing.
So we can do together what I cannot do alone. Yes. I hold my hands in your hands so we can do together what I cannot do.
We can. I hold my hand in yours so that we can do together what I cannot do alone.
Okay. Has everybody had a chance to do this with a couple of people?
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
That is a very, very powerful thing when it's spreading among 3,800 people, let me tell you.
And it took longer than a couple of minutes.
Yes. So.
Well, we're delighted to be with you this morning to share our observations and a number of other things about the General Assembly. That's what GA means, the General Assembly of the Unitarian Universalist Association of Congregations. And it was in Columbus, Ohio. Do you want to start with kind of an overview?
I will start with an overview. You've already heard this morning, General Assembly is our denomination's annual meeting where we get inspired, we conduct business, that sort of thing. It took place this year in Columbus, Ohio, last full week of June. And it was a miraculous and frightening experience all at the same time. We were honored to represent WUF at GA as official delegates. We have our voting cards and everything. Here's our voting cards. Yeah, this is power, baby. Okay. There wasn't actually much of a contest since we were the only ones that went. However, we were very proud and happy to be able to do so. There's actually quite a bit of responsibility in being a delegate to General Assembly. It includes paying close attention to the proceedings of the general sessions where the business of the denomination is done. It requires careful reading of all of the documents, bylaws, rules about how we will proceed, all those kinds of things, items to be voted on. And it requires very careful listening of the pro and con comments that are made during the debate periods before we're voting on these sorts of things. We did our very best to use our best judgment on behalf of WUF when we voted on some very important issues. So that's our editorial on the general sessions. Now back to the beginning. The conference officially began at noon on Wednesday, but the first big activity was that evening session that you saw on the screen up here, where we parade the hundreds and hundreds of banners that, that people bring with them.
It's over 1,000 banners.
Oh yeah, that's a lot of banners. We were setting up our lines, you know, to go in some like little areas in between the big ballrooms. It's absolute pandemonium in there, I can tell you. But it worked out perfectly in the end. Everybody got their time out. And if you were here listening, we're also, the song, Inner Rejoicing to Come In, was played over and over and over again until all these thousand banners were. And then the banners were displayed all around the convention hall for the rest of the week. So general sessions, the business part, filled up our mornings most of the time. Afternoons were devoted to presentations and workshops, which numbered around 150 in all. They covered every subject imaginable surrounding church life and issues that are near and dear to all our hearts. The evenings were devoted to wonderful ceremonials and presentations by outstanding speakers, beginning with Wednesday's welcome and opening celebration, and continuing till Saturday night, where the traditional WARE lectures take place. I'll tell you a little bit more about the WARE lecture from this year later. Now I'm going to turn this over to Patrick, and he's going to talk about those general business meetings that we attended.
Before I get into the general session, we did... Is this better? Okay. Before I get into the general sessions, I do want to share with you four new vocabulary terms. At least they were new to us, and maybe not new to everybody in here. But the first one of those was the use of the word allies. And allies is a term that is used now very commonly in racial justice to describe the role of a person not in the racial group, but who supports and stands with the racial group. And the most common use is white allies, which is the term that's being used primarily by Black Lives Matter and other racial justice movements. The next term was LGBTIQ. The I was something, again, it was new for us. It stands for intersex, and it is really used to identify a group of people who have physical characteristics and chromosomal makeup that's different than society's general rules about what constitutes being male or female. Next term is Latinx. Latinx, like Latino, except with an X where the O goes. And that is a gender-neutral expression rather than using Latino, as is traditionally used to describe all people of Hispanic descent, so Latinx. And finally is the use of the word siblings. Siblings is used in place of or in addition to brothers and sisters. Siblings is a more inclusive term. It draws the circle wider to include trans people and intersex people who may not identify as a brother or sister. Anyway, four new terms. Well, let me now get into the general sessions. Annabelle told you a little bit about that. This is where the business of the association is transacted. There were five general sessions. They totaled 13 and a half hours. And then there were some mini assemblies on top of all that, but at any rate, that's scattered over 4 days. Each congregation is given a certain number of delegates based on the size of the congregation. So WHOOP has two lay delegates. Annabelle's already told you about. We didn't have a clue about what we're doing because we didn't have any guidance from you, and so we did vote our conscience, and I'll tell you how we voted on a couple or three things. A major issue for the UUA around delegates is getting delegates that are more representative of the general spectrum of folks who call themselves UU. GA is a major commitment of time and money. Using frequent flyer miles, we still easily spend in excess of $2,000 to attend. We also spent a full week of time, GA 5 days, and it was a day to get there and a day to get back. And only 28% of the delegates, not including us, receive any kind of support from their congregation, so basically is everybody funding themselves. As a result, the delegates tend to look like us.
Old white guys.
Yeah. Older,
it's that
financially
point.
Secure, mostly retired, and white. So let me quickly review some of the key decisions from GA 2016. We addressed two business resolutions. One was concerning, business resolutions require a two-thirds majority vote. The first one, which was approved, was Thanksgiving Day Reconsidered. And this resolution calls on the UUA congregations and congregants to enter a period of truth and reconciliation regarding the English settlement of North America to coincide with the 400th anniversary of the Pilgrims' arrival. And that will be in 2020. We both voted in favor of that resolution.
No, we didn't.
I'm sorry.
I didn't vote for that one. Sorry.
When Jim Key said yes, I held up mine. When Jim Key said no, Annabelle held up hers. I'm sorry.
He was pro, I was no.
The second,
and I'll share that with you at some time if you want.
The second business resolution was much more serious.
This is serious.
The divestment from corporations complicit in the violation of Palestinian rights. Divestment is a very public process. It represents an ethical stand, a public ethical stand, in addition to a business decision. Resolutions at GA are debated and amended in many assemblies. And at the mini assembly on this resolution, the original resolution was dramatically amended to remove the divestment concept, replaced with a screening process, which UUA already does. And it was broadened to include human rights violations generally, including the Palestinians. The resolution as amended simply reaffirmed the position and process UUA already has in place. We both voted no. And we can talk about that, why we did. The resolution received a majority vote but did not receive the two-thirds and was defeated. The second area of business is the selection of a congregational study action issue, also called a CSAI. Every other year, a new issue is selected to go through a four-year process of study and action that results in a UUA statement of conscience and an educational plan. Delegates were presented with four proposed CSAIs at GA. Those were climate change and environmental justice, a national conversation on race, ending gun violence in America, and the corruption of our democracy. We went through an extended process. Eventually, we decided that the corruption of our democracy will be the CSAI for the 2016-2020 cycle. And again, we can talk more about that. Third area of business is to endorse any actions of immediate witness called AIWs. Eight were proposed, and after a multiple-day process, the delegates approved three AIWs, building solidarity with our Muslim neighbors, some guns, all guns, legislating appropriate restrictions, and stop the hate, protect and support our transgender and gender nonconforming families. At the final general session, there was a responsive resolution introduced entitled Reaffirmation of Commitment to Racial Justice. Now, throughout GA, younger delegates, delegates of color, and others, including me, became increasingly upset about the support for racial justice that was occurring in the business sessions.
Lack of support.
No support.
No support. No.
There was a collection taken up that raised $90,000 to give to Black Lives UU, but there was no statement about racial justice on the part of the General Assembly. After impassioned pleas by youth of color and support from several ministers, this resolution at the 11th hour, 59th minute was unanimously confirmed. It requires the UUA to collect data about denominational efforts in racial justice and report those results annually for the next 4 years. Anyway, that was an editorial comment. So, should we go into a different session, a different topic? So, Annabelle, we had these evening sessions and Sunday morning worship. Which of those is most powerful for you?
Well, the opening ceremony really grabbed me in a big way. You all, you know, saw some of it on the screen up here. It's like a big family reunion with overtones of a Pentecostal revival meeting, I think.
Enter, rejoice, and come in.
Enter, rejoice, and come in. There was singing, there was laughing, there was hugging, there was dancing in the aisles. I mean, it was an amazing event, and it really, it's very carefully planned to really get everybody ginned up and ready to go for the week. But it was, it really, really was a really great opportunity, and it was lots and lots of fun. Thursday's evening service is called the Service of the Living Tradition. Is that all right if we'll go ahead and talk about all of these?
I'm going to talk more about that.
Okay, you're going to talk more about that one. I'll just say this. It's where newly minted ministers are introduced, retiring ministers are recognized, and the deceased clergy are remembered. It's a time to talk about and to recognize milestones in people's lives. I'll leave the rest of that to Patrick because he's going to talk about that a little more at length. Now, I cannot report on the Friday evening festivities because we've played hooky and went out for a farewell dinner with Reverend Sarah.
And celebratory martinis.
And celebratory martinis to a restaurant called Martini, it seemed appropriate. Very good food also. We had a truly lovely time with Sarah. We said our farewells to each other and best to use on the sidewalk and went off to our hotels in different directions. We didn't see Sarah again, and I'm glad that we didn't in a way, because seeing her again would have been anticlimactic and it would have kind of spoiled the moment that we had in front of the restaurant on Friday night. Saturday evening is reserved each year for what's known as the Ware Lecture. The first Ware Lecture was presented in 1922 at the annual meeting of the American Unitarian Association, the forerunner of today's UUA. In 1920, Miss Harriet Ware bequeathed a whopping $5,000 to the denomination to underwrite a lecture series at the annual meeting. Miss Ware's generous gift is long gone, but her name remains firmly attached to this lecture series. The Ware Lecture is nearly always given by someone outside of our denomination, and it has included people like the ones I'm going to read to you. Reinhold Niebuhr, Linus Pauling, Patrick's cousin, Honest. Yeah. Martin Luther King Jr., Kurt Vonnegut, Shirley Chisholm, Norman Lear, Karen Armstrong, Holly Near, and last year's speaker was Cornel West. This year's lecturer was Krista Trippett. She's a broadcaster, an international journalist, and an author who holds a Master's of Divinity degree from Yale University. Krista has a radio program that some of you might be familiar with. I'm seeing some 8 o'clock on OPB on Sunday mornings. Very, very interesting stuff. She has recently published a book called Becoming Wise, An Inquiry into the Mystery and Art of Living. I can't recommend this book highly enough. I've been struggling to read it, primarily because this lady's mind simply doesn't work like mine is, and I'm pretty sure hers is superior. Two-thirds of the way through the book I am, and I will finish it now, and I will go back and read it again because I now finally begin to catch on to the way she expresses things and the way she talks, but I recommend it highly. Probably be willing to loan it out to anyone that might be interested in it. Incidentally, all of the proceedings that we're talking about are available on video by going to the UUA website. You can listen to any sermon, any meeting.
Just Google GA 2016.
And you'll find that. And it's a lot. Some of them are really, really worthwhile watching. Okay, it's your turn, Patrick. I'm done.
She's done. My favorite, most powerful experience was the Service and Living Tradition. And it really was the sermon from the Service and Living Tradition. That sermon was presented by the Reverend Dr. William Sinkford, who, as most of you know, is the senior minister at First Unitarian Portland and past president of the UUA. Bill's message was a call to all of us to stay woke. Stay awake. Stay awake. Staying woke is a term used in black racial justice about being present. He talked about Martin Luther King's 1966 Ware lecture, that Bill was a young man at the GA listening to that lecture. UU had been at the forefront of the civil rights movement in the 1950s and 60s. However, when it became obvious that marching and getting a few laws passed was not going to be enough, when the black power empowerment movement began, UU didn't stay woke. We turned away from what has been called black empowerment. We were suffering from what Bill called white innocence. The current racial justice movement and Black Lives Matter is offering us a second chance, Bill says. We must stay woke this time. UUs must see ourselves as communities of resistance. Resistance, Bill said, is what love looks like in the face of hate. Resistance is what love looks like in the face of violence. Annabelle, you've just been in the choir. Anything you want to say about that?
Yes, I would like to talk about the choir. We both had extra opportunities to serve the wider convention while we were there. Patrick in the accessibility area, and he's going to tell you about that. But I got to sing in the choir. It was very, very fortunate to be able to do that. I signed up online when there were only three positions open, remaining open for first soprano, so I was lucky that I got in. Each year, an outstanding UU choir director is selected to direct this group. Our director this year was Dr. Glenn Thomas Rideout of Ann Arbor, Michigan UU Congregation. Now, Dr. Rideout is the Doogie Howser of choir directors. He's all of 30 years old, and he's been directing that choir in Ann Arbor for 6 years. He was hired when he was a grad school there at the university. He's unequivocally the best director I have ever sung for. He is a phenom. He made us sound so good in such a short period of time. Just spending time with a group of people, though, and that was in the choir, getting to know a few of them, getting to sing for over 4,000 people on Sunday morning was really an extension of the highlight. The whole service was led by Dr. Rideout and also the Reverend Nancy McDonald Ladd, who is the minister of the River Road UU Congregation of Bethesda, Maryland. Nancy started her sermon with an autobiographical tale of how she became, at the age of 9, the first altar girl ever in the Catholic Church where she was raised. She told us about how, as an insecure 9-year-old, she was finally able, after several years, to come to terms with a substitute priest who did not believe that girls should be altar people. She described she and this priest as second stringers, thrown together by fate and ultimately by grace. As an adult pastor, and I would say a brilliant speaker she is, she said, "I'm told that now I have developed an edge." It would be really worth your time to find Nancy's sermon online in the during the Sunday morning service.
Okay. We are running out of time. We have a lot more things to talk about, but I'm going to truncate this a little bit.
That's fine.
Okay. We both attended lots of different sessions, and so we've got lots of insights around governance and leadership and stewardship and racial justice and other things. So we'd love to talk with any of you about those sorts of things. And what I'd like to do just real quickly is share my kind of post-observations. Do you have a quick observation?
I have a semi-quick observation.
Quickly,
okay. I scripted this because I wanted to say just exactly. I felt like I attended two different GAs this year. The one in the hallways, in the bookstore, in the workshops, the choir practices, the wonderful evening services, versus the one in the business sessions. The first was positive and uplifting and joyous, while the other was confrontational and divisive and beset by a cumbersome process. I find myself really questioning the way UAA goes about doing business. I think some of those cumbersome processes actually set up the organization for failure. However, I'm not ready to throw the towel in yet. We will be electing a new UA president next year, and I have high hopes that this new leadership will bring some new ways of doing things.
We know that the new president will be a woman.
Because all three candidates
are women.
The election is next year. We will certainly talk to you all more about the election
about the
as time goes on, about the candidates.
Well, for me, GA was a time of contradictions, much like Annabelle's talking about. There was great elation, joy, and celebration, and it was also a time of discouragement, disappointment, and despair. I come back with my batteries recharged, but I also come back wondering if this faith and this congregation are prepared to do the hard work and walk with and in support of our siblings of color. I'm questioning whether I can help move what Alicia Garza, one of the co-founders of the Black Lives Matter movement that I had the opportunity to spend some time with, what she calls the tidal wave of hate. Are we going to be able to push back the tidal wave of hate in the opposite direction? I was tremendously disappointed that GA 2016 didn't speak in a loud and angry voice about race in America. And one of our UU hymns is "We are a gentle, angry people," Holly Meersong. But I wonder if we are truly angry. I saw a gentle, content group filled with their white entitlement and Unitarian exceptionalism. Rosemary Bray McNatt, who's president of the Star King School for the Ministry, said in her reflections in the closing session, "This GA highlighted the disconnect between our aspirations and our actions. We have to heal that. Friends, we've got to heal that." I want to close with a prayer. This is a prayer that the Reverend Bill Sinkford used to close his sermon. If you feel so inclined to pray, do so. If you don't, that's fine as well. I just want to share with you this prayer. Spirit of life, great mystery at the heart of things, dear God, may we find the strength to remember how we have triumphed and how we have failed. May we find the courage to know as much of the truth as we can bear. Help us to find the courage to answer the call of love once again, to stand against hate and resist violence that the world urges us to accept. This is our world. These are our bodies. Help us find a way to live within the all of it. And find a way to allow love to call us on towards hope. Amen. May it be so.
Thank you so much, Patrick and Annabelle. We have a few minutes for questions. I'm happy to bring the mic over to you.
Thank you. Ralph and I have attended several GAs. One was in Calgary, and I'm afraid to say that it doesn't sound like we've made as much progress as we could have. I also want to say that what you ended with reminds me of a meditation group I was in today where we came around to the concept that in everyday interactions with people, having compassion for oneself and for others is how the world is going to change. This comes back to the ritual you gave us. Thank you.
Very good. You're right.
It doesn't sound to me like you received any concrete ideas or to bring that to your congregation that would help them move forward.
Well, I think we did.
Did you?
I think we did.
We couldn't get it all in 20 minutes.
And will you present those ideas to the board and in some way so that we can perhaps on that?
Yeah. Well, this is all a racial justice issue, and I have already racial justice committee held their retreat offsite last week ago Saturday. Social justice. Sorry. And we have already started this process. But yes, there are some definite things we can do. But the basic thing is, first of all, you've got to have a heart attack. You've got to get it right in here. And until we all get it right here, we will continue down the same road. Beyond that, there's lots of things we can do, and you will begin to see very quickly some social justice, racial justice activities. Just leave it there.
A somewhat mundane question after your inspiring last statement. You had said that you were not provided any direction by the congregation, and I'm wondering what that would look like going forward so that we can make sure that our delegates are prepared to represent us. We trust your conscience, and simultaneously, obviously, you would have preferred to have had us give you some direction, and I'm curious how that would work.
I think that works with us starting in the early spring. When the documents start to come out about what's going to be in GA that year, we will definitely, we will just all sit down and talk about. And we need to do the same thing with a candidate forum to talk about who the candidates are for the UUA president and really get to know them as much as we can based on whatever they publish. Those kinds of things, and then we decide as a group, with the understanding that things change at the last minute, and whoever the delegates are, they certainly do not have to be us. We should spread that around.
As well as do some fundraising so that we help support financially the delegates that are sending.
Yeah, that would be very, very helpful. In New Orleans.
It's going to be in New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Our hope is that some of the younger members of this congregation can go. We're committed to try to work to make some of that happen.
So my daughter's 9. She's not here today, but we were talking about some of the stuff that was happening because it's all over the news with the shooting and the pickups and everything. And I mentioned, still have some racism in our country. And she just looked at me and she goes, what does that mean? What's racism? And so she really has no concept of it. And she goes to Templeton, which has a lot of Hispanics and a lot of minorities there. But I thought that's very heartening to know that at least my children have no concept of what it means to hate somebody because of their color. So that's a little bit of hope.
That is.
I'm getting it started next year. Just to let you know, one other person that I know of, me, is going next year. We'll get it started.
Okay, Joe.
I think I know a few other ones.
Yeah, we kind of have to go too.
Thank you, Patrick and Annabelle. I've been a member of the Global Warming blog for about 3 years now, and I recall 2 years ago at the GA that there was a lot of concern that climate change really wasn't being addressed. So there's a flurry of activity between 2014 and 2015 to make it noticed. And fortunately, 2015, it rose to the level it should be, not just another issue, but a crisis in the making. It seemed to take a nosedive in 2016 and get buried again. Why did that happen?
So, you know, there are, I say, Don, this is just that there are so many issues that we as a race, as a human race, face, that what tends to get the grease is what's squeaking the loudest at that time. I am today wondering if GA was going on right now, if racial justice wouldn't be the primary focus of everything. It was the primary focus of all the evening events and a lot of workshops and things like that. It simply didn't get any support during the delegates coming together to vote. And I'm guessing today that vote would be very different. So climate justice was discussed in at great length. I just think that it's one of those things where we were just coming off of the shootings in
Orlando.
In Orlando.
Yes, it was.
And so that surfaced, a lot of other issues were surfacing. Gun violence was a big issue. And I also think that climate justice, like racial justice, is a tough issue. It's a tough issue. What are you personally going to do? Are you personally going to, which you do, park your car and not use your vehicle anymore? What changes, fundamental changes you're making in your life to support climate justice? What fundamental changes you're going to make in your life to support racial justice? And those are tough, tough decisions that most of us kind of want to back away from a little bit. It's
because they seem so insurmountable.
They seem insurmountable and they're uncomfortable.
It's like
we have time for one more question.
Well, on the matter of social or racial issues, I've been reading a lot about this on online, and somebody online brought it up and said, we are getting together, all of us, you know, Latinos or Latinx, and people of color, to fight the injustice of the latest situations in Orlando about the killings of, you know, colored people from policemen. But we also need your help, the help of the white men, the help of the white people to stand alongside us to make this validated, and so that they, because there's a lot of people that think like us too. And there's a lot of support, but we need them to stand with us together so we can fight this together and hopefully eradicate it.
That's what allies are about.
That's all the time we have. Make sure.
Yeah. Can I just one real quick?
Sure.
So Tuesday night at Kennedy School is the next time of a group called Race Fox, which is really about how can white people get involved in, support this whole movement. Second thing is that online there are a number of references to things that white people can do to support racial justice. And so there's 7 ways, and there's a 5-way, and there's a number of things, but it's out there. Yeah, white privilege working group. At any rate, a discussion that needs to continue.
Thank you so much, Patrick and Annabelle.